What if there was one activity in life that would result in eternal rewards for you? What if there was one activity in life that would protect you from envy, jealousy, greed, materialism, and self-centered living? Now, if you were here last week, you're saying, wait a minute, we heard that list last week. And that's exactly right. But last week, we discovered that there is such an activity in life. In fact, it is such an important activity that promises all of these results. We as a church are going to take 6 weeks together to look at what the Bible has to say about this one single activity in life. Now, if you were awake last week, you remember that one activity is the activity called generosity. And we as a church, if you're new to Hope, we're going to take 6 weeks together and dive into this activity called generosity. Now, just kind of as review, last week we said that generosity, as it's used in the Scripture, has the biblical idea of this, of overflow. And when you read that word in the Scriptures, it has the idea of overflow to abundance. It has the idea of ready to distribute. But we said last week that the main idea we're going to kind of lock onto is the idea that the Bible presents, especially in the New Testament, that the idea of generosity is what? Anybody remember? This. Right here on your fingertips. In other words, to live generously means that you live life wide open. That you recognize God owns it all. He's entrusted some of it to us. But everything He's given us, you know what we do with it? We hold it right here in our fingertips, ready to be a blessing in the lives of others to the glory of God. So we've entitled this whole concept about generosity this: living life wide open instead of living life like this. And we're going to take another look at this whole idea tonight from a little bit different angle. And I want to put a proverb on the screen for you that captures this whole idea just as a matter of review of generosity and what we're talking about, what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks here and in your connection groups as well. Proverbs chapter 11 captures this whole idea of living life wide open. Read it on the screen with me. Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, says this. He says, there is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. He says, there is one who withholds what is justly due and it results only in what? Want. He says, the generous man will be prosperous. And he who waters or is a blessing in the lives of other people will himself be watered. Now that's an incredible picture of this whole idea of generosity. Solomon paints a picture of two men. One who lives life like this. He says he scatters. Everything he has, he holds it on his fingertips and he distributes. He's a source of blessing into the lives of other people. And Solomon says that person who scatters will increase. But Solomon says there's also a different type of person. And it's the type of person who withholds. Mine. Got to take good care of it. It's mine. He says the person who withholds, it results only in what? Want. But that is directly contrary to our culture. And that is directly contrary to the way we think. There is a law of generosity that's stated here in Proverbs 11. And the law is this. The one who gives, gains. And the one who holds, loses. And that is a law of generosity given to us in the pages of Scripture. Now what I want to do here at the beginning is I want to share with you the way God graphically demonstrated this to me just a few weeks ago. I saw graphically this whole idea that there is one who distributes and it results in gain. But then there's another who withholds and it results only in want. And I was taught this lesson very graphically a few weeks ago through this object that you're going to see on the screen. Now, does anybody have any idea what that is? If you have young boys who enjoy Legos, you know that that is called a Lego Paraca. And my boys love Lego Paracas. So I put one on the screen for you because God used one of those to teach me this incredible lesson of the one who gives gains, but the one who withholds results only in want. Now, a few weeks ago, my boys, for several weeks, I have two boys, an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old, Joshua and Joseph. And these boys, for several weeks in their lives, had been saving up every dime that they could get from doing extra chores and doing their allowance. Man, they kept a jar there on the counter, and they were saving up every dime they could get because they were going to buy them two new Paracas, one for Josh and one for Joseph. But man, they went to Kmart and they priced the they checked the price out for these Paracas. They were $10. So they knew if they were going to get two brand new Paracas, they had to save and save and come up with $20. So for weeks, all they did was save their money and put it in their jar there in the kitchen. Now, during this time, our family was praying about what our involvement in the Hope for the World offering was going to be. So we'd pray for it at dinner time, and our boys would pray about it. We were trying to teach them that biblical principle. And this was going on during that time. And finally, about 2 weeks ago, the day arrived that Joshua got his last quarter. And he ran down into the kitchen and he dropped it in the jar and he said, "That's it." Spread out all that money on the counter and he counted it again. He counted it probably 100 times at this point and said, "We've got it. Our $20, let's go to Kmart." So that was the plan. That night we decided after dinner we were going to load up. We were all going to go to Kmart. Joshua was going to get his Paraca and Joseph was going to get his Paraca. Well, that night after dinner, it just happened to be the night that we as a family were going to pray one more time about, "God, how do you want us to be involved in Hope for the World offering?" So we had our dinner, and after the dinner, I got the boys together, and I said, "Boys, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go get all your money, your quarters and your dollars and your dimes and your nickels, and I want you to bring it in here on the floor and spread it out all over the floor." So they brought their jars in, they spread it out all over the floor, and there was their $20. And I said, "Guys," teaching them these biblical principles, said, "Guys, whose money is this really?" "God's." My 5-year-old wasn't real convinced about that, but we're working on it. And I said, "Boys, before we go to Kmart, before we go get this Paraca, we're going to pray one more time. And boys, we're going to ask God what He would have us do with this money." And before we even prayed, Joseph, my 5-year-old, said, "Paraca!" He didn't even have to pray about it. He had already heard from God. So we prayed, and I said, "Boys, remember what's going on at church. We as a family are going to be involved in what God's doing in the world with Hope for the World." And man, I had it ready. I had our globe out on the floor, and I was flipping the globe. I said, "Boys, remember when Dad went to Thailand a few years ago and went to Honduras and these different places where we're involved? You could give some of this money, and that money would go to Thailand and Honduras and South Africa and all these places in the world that God's working." And Josh was kind of interested in that because he knew when I went. And Joseph, man, he said, "Let's go, Dad. It's time to go get our proc." So we prayed and I said, "Boys," after we said amen, I said, "Guys, all right, it's up to you. It's your decision. What are we going to do with this money?" And Josh, my 5-year-old or 8-year-old, surprised us. And he said, he grabbed down in the middle of that pile of money, the only $5 bill in the whole pot, and he pulled that $5 bill out. He said, "Dad, I think we want to give this $5 to Thailand and Honduras and all these places in the Hope for the World." And man, that blessed the heart of this dad. But then I caught the face of my 5-year-old. And my 8-year-old was saying, "Yeah, and we can give to what God's doing all over the world. Dad, I'm so excited." And my 5-year-old was like this. He was ready to rip the heart out of my 8-year-old. Because all he could think about was, that means we had 20, now we've got 15, that means no Paracas. That's all he could think about. So we were praising Joshua and Joseph and Right there before my eyes, I saw this picture of this. There's one who scatters, and man, there's one who withholds what is justly due. And then I noticed that Joseph began to cry. Man, he was 5 years old. He really wanted this prock, and I understand that. So I said, all right, boys, I'm so proud of you guys. You all have saved for weeks. I said, tell you what we'll do. Josh, we're going to take that money, and we're going to put it in that offering. But get your shoes, and let's go on to Kmart. So we loaded up in the van, and I kind of had in my mind what I was going to do as a dad, you know. I was going to take care of the five for him. So me and Josh and Joseph, we load up in our vehicle, and we get to Kmart. Now remember, two parakas were $20, right? They had checked Kmart for weeks. Every time they went in the door, man, they were going to the toy aisle, checking the paraka, make sure it was still there. The white one and the brown one. And we walk in Kmart, and we walk back to the toy aisle. And I'm telling you, this dad just about had a spell in Kmart. Because there was the parakas. First time ever, they were on the clearance aisle. And they had reduced the price of this $10 paraka and this other $10 paraka to $7 apiece. 7 plus 7 is 14. Plus tax gives you a grand total of $15. And Josh was sitting there doing his calculations, and he saw it, and he got it, and my 8-year-old looked at me, and he went, Dad, God gave us the money back. He did. And that may seem like a small thing, but my son learned the lesson of he who scatters, God increases. But that's not the whole story. The next morning, my boys get a package in the mail from their grandparents that had been sent 2 weeks earlier. And they get this package and they open it, and guess what's in the box? Two more parakas. And a card for Josh and a card for Joseph, and each card had $10 in it. You say, what's the point? The point is this. My sons gave $5 of their 20. God reduced the price at Kmart. He sent them two more parakas and doubled their money. You know what the principle is? There is one who scatters, yet increases all the more. There is one who withholds what is justly due, and it results only in want. And you say, Mike, what's the big deal about that? You say, that was only $5. What difference is $5 going to make into eternity? Let me tell you what difference it makes. Number one, it made a big difference in the life of this dad that saw God teach my boys something that I was trying to teach them. And it made a big difference in the lives of that 8- and 5-year-old. You can ask them about it, they'll tell you. God met them at Kmart. And you know who else it made a big difference to? It meant a lot to God. You know why? Here's why it made a big difference. It may only have been $5. Let me tell you something about generosity. Generosity is not about possessions at all. Generosity is not about money at all. Generosity, biblically, is not even about wealth. You know what generosity is all about? Generosity is a matter of the heart. See, it may have been $5, it may have been $50 million, but the heart of my 8-year-old was right, and he wanted to give to God. And God blessed him. Generosity, as we're going to see tonight, is not about your wallet. Generosity is a matter of the heart. And tonight we're going to take a look at that from Matthew chapter 6. So if you'll find your place there in Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 19. No one understood this idea more than Jesus Christ himself. He understood the biblical principle that generosity is all about the heart. So read with me in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 24. And we're going to read these verses together. Verse 19 says this. Jesus here, this is found right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, one of the greatest sermons ever preached in all of history. And Jesus is going to teach us something here about generosity. Beginning in verse 19, he says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in or steal." Verse 21, key verse, Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Verse 22, "The eye of the lamp is the body." The eye is the lamp of the body. "So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" Verse 24, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." What's Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying here basically that generosity is not about the wallet. It's about the heart. And sometimes when you're reading Scripture, you kind of got to learn and got to see what Jesus is not saying. What is Jesus Christ not saying here from these verses about possessions and wealth and treasure? What he's not saying is this. Jesus is not forbidding ownership. Don't confuse this to say that Jesus is saying we shouldn't own anything. That's not at all what he's saying. In Deuteronomy 28, Jesus said to the children of Israel, "I will put you in the land and I'll prosper you with family and cattle and sheep and crops." In other words, God has never forbidden ownership. So don't take these verses to mean that we're not to own anything. Secondly, he's not even forbidding wealth. Jesus is not saying don't have wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "It is God that gives you the power to get wealth." Wealth in and of itself is neither good nor bad. It's your heart that's the issue. Jesus is not forbidding saving. Proverbs 21:20 says, "The wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets." The Bible prescribes saving and being thrifty. That's not what Jesus is forbidding here in any way. In fact, the focus of what Jesus is saying here is not on money or possessions at all. The focus of what Jesus is talking about here is one thing. And we know that from verse 21. The focus of what Jesus is talking about is your heart and my heart. Because the issue in generosity is not how much you have or how much you don't have. The issue is your heart. And Jesus wants to teach us here three things about the heart. Whenever the Bible uses the idea of the heart, it's not talking about this organ within us that pumps blood. It's talking about the center of our emotions, the will, our affections, our desires. The true you could be called your heart. It's who you really are. And Jesus knows wherever or whoever has your heart has you. Jesus says, you know the verse, "Love the Lord your God with all your" what? Heart. Proverbs says, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the well springs of life." Generosity is a matter of the heart. And Jesus here is going to teach us three things about the heart. I want to go over those with you very briefly tonight. Number one, the first thing he's going to teach us is this, that generosity guides our heart. Generosity guides the direction of our heart. You say, what do you mean by that? I don't understand that. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 21. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now you might expect Jesus to say something like this: wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. And that's not necessarily wrong, but that's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying, where your treasure is, your heart will always follow. He's saying, be careful where you put your treasure. Be careful where you put the majority of your time, of your energy, of your talent, of your treasure. Because wherever those things are, guess what? Your heart will always follow. Your heart follows your investment. Your heart follows your treasure. The concept of treasure here is not referring to that which we use every day. The concept of treasure here is that which we amass for ourselves. That which we pile up, we stack up, that could be used for eternal impact. And basically with that, we have two options. We can invest in the things of the earth that are going to fade away, Jesus says. Or we can take that which we have and invest it in kingdom investment where moth and rust will never corrupt, he says. We have two options. But here's the point Jesus wants us to see. Wherever your treasure is, wherever your investment is, wherever your time is, wherever your energy is, guess what? Your heart will always follow. That's the way we're wired. God has put us together that way. Jesus is not concerned about the resources. He's concerned about our heart. Now let me illustrate this for you. Because this is kind of a backward principle to the way we usually see it. Let's say, for example, this week you receive in the mail a $10,000 check. How many would like to receive a $10,000 check in the mail this week? Now, Pastor Vance gave out 50 last week, so don't get your hopes up, all right? But let's say you received a check for $10,000 in the mail. This was extra. Your basic needs had already been met. This was abundance. What are you going to do with that $10,000? Option number one. Option number one is you take the $10,000 and you invest in Ford Motor Company. And after you make that sizable investment in Ford Motor Company, guess what is going to happen to you? Well, you're going to begin to read everything that you see about Ford Motor Company. Either they're doing well or they're not doing well. You're going to be driving down the road and you're going to start counting the number of Fords that drive past you because that's your investment. A friend is going to mention to you buying a new car and you're going to say, well, you know, I'd recommend a Ford myself. Because your heart will be interested in what is happening in the Ford Motor Company more than ever before. Why? Because the principle is this, what Jesus teaches. Where you make your investment of your time, resources, talent, energy, your heart is always going to follow. But what would happen if you wake up in 2 days and you turn on Fox News and Ford Motor Company has gone upside down? Then that sizable investment you made has been corrupted by moth and rust, and it's no more. What about option number two? Let's say a missionary comes to our church from Thailand. Chan Samon Sisak, you may have heard him before. He comes and he speaks, and he shares about what's going on there in Laos and Cambodia, and how they're training pastors, and how men and women's lives are being changed for the kingdom. And he stands up and says, and we need $10,000 to continue the work. And God moves on your heart and you take that $10,000 and you invest it in what God is doing there in Laos and Thailand. And you become very concerned, very involved in the activity in Thailand and Laos. You begin to pray like never before for what God is doing in Thailand and Laos. And in that prayer time, God is changing your heart. Pretty soon you're on a mission trip to Thailand. Pretty soon you're leading a team to Thailand. What has happened? God has changed your heart. Why? Because you made an investment. And Jesus says, wherever you make a generous investment, your heart will always follow. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then you die, you go to heaven, and there's some fellow that walks up to you and says, you don't know me, but I was a pastor in Laos, and you gave, and I was ministered to, and it changed my life. Because your investment that you made in the kingdom was eternal. And nothing could touch it, and nothing could take it away. See, Jesus understands our heart. And he says, wherever we place our investment, our resources, our treasure, our heart will always follow. Generosity guides our heart. But that's not all Jesus teaches. Jesus also teaches something else about the principle of generosity. It's an issue of the heart. Generosity guides our heart. But then secondly, listen to this. Generosity also enlightens our heart. Generosity enlightens our heart. See, what do you mean by that? Jesus said in Matthew 6:22, we just read it. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. Now, I'm just going to tell you, this is one of those verses that you've probably read before, and you read it, and you sit back, and you go, what in the world does that mean? Jesus says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? What does that mean? Jesus is using a metaphor here. And he's using the metaphor of the human eye. And let me just illustrate it real quickly. He says the human eye, basically, the only way we have in our body to receive light and to do anything with it is through the what? Eye. The only way we can receive light is through our eye. If our eye is bad, or it's diseased, or it's closed, guess what? No light can enter our body. Jesus is using the eye and the light as a metaphor to demonstrate your heart. In other words, the only way truth and spiritual understanding can come into your body where you can understand it and live it out, the only way you can hear from God is through your heart. And Jesus is saying, your heart is either good and clear and receptive to what God wants to speak to you, or you may have an evil heart, like he says, and it's closed. And God may be trying to speak to you, and you come here every weekend and hear preaching, and you open your Bible and spend your quiet time, and it's like God is silent. Why is that? Jesus says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, and the word clear here is the same word used elsewhere in the New Testament for generous. He says, if your heart is fixed on the things of God, and your heart is open, and you handle your possessions that you've been given from God with an open hand, and your heart is clear, guess what? Your whole body is going to be full of what? Light and truth and spiritual understanding. You say, Pastor Mike, are you telling me the way I handle my earthly resources and treasures and things given from God affects my ability to hear from God? Affects my ability to receive truth? That's exactly what Jesus is saying. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke 16. He says, he who is faithful in a very little thing also is faithful in much. He who is unrighteous in a very little thing is also unrighteous in much. Now listen to this. Jesus says, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, that's everything we have, who will entrust true riches to you? Jesus says, look, the way you handle your material possessions and the things given from God is so important. It affects your ability to hear from God. See, think of your heart like a big satellite dish for a second, that is capable of receiving information and receiving communication and receiving from God what God wants to speak to you. Jesus says either your satellite dish is tuned into the things of earth because that's where your treasure is, or he says your satellite dish is tuned into the things of heaven because that's where your treasure is. And when God speaks, you hear. When God gives you spiritual understanding, you can take it in. Why? Because your investment is here, your heart is here, and you're in tune with what God wants to say to you. Jesus says it can't be both ways. He says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if your heart is there, he says your whole life is going to be full of light. See why generosity is such an important issue? It's not just a side issue in your life. Jesus says generosity guides your heart. Jesus says generosity illumines your heart that you can receive from God the true riches that He wants to give you. Now, the third thing I want to tell you about the heart very quickly is this. Jesus says, generosity leads your heart. Generosity illumines your heart. And the third one is this. Generosity can free your heart. Generosity, living life wide open, can set your heart free. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, listen to verse 24. Jesus says this. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in money. You cannot serve God in possessions. You cannot serve God in all this wealth that He's given you. Jesus understands something about our heart. Our hearts can only serve one master. And it is a reality of life that sometimes these blessings that God has given us and these possessions that God has given us to enjoy and to be a blessing can, instead of us possessing them, can begin to possess us. And they take all your time and all your energy and all your resources, and it's all you think about. And instead of you possessing these things, they begin to possess you. And you know what that's called? It's called bondage. Many of us have been there. That the possessions that God has blessed us with and the things that God has blessed us with are no longer a blessing. They become entrapping to us. They bind us. And we find ourselves in bondage. You know why? Because your heart and my heart cannot serve two masters. And let me tell you this. Possessions and things and money and all that can be a very cruel master. Jesus wants you to be free. You say, if I'm in that position, what does that have to do with generosity? Listen to what Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 19. 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 19 says this, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Now listen to this. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, and to be generous, ready to share. You say, what if I find myself and I'm in bondage to my stuff and I'm in bondage to my things and they seem to be ruling my life instead of me ruling my life? You know what the answer is according to 1 Timothy? Hold them on your fingertips. Recognize they're all from God and be ready to share. See, generosity can set your heart free. I want to close with one illustration and we'll be done. John D. Rockefeller was the world's first billionaire. At the age of 23, he became a millionaire. At the age of 50, he became a billionaire. Every decision, attitude, and relationship was tailored to create his personal power and wealth. But at the age of 53, he became deathly ill. His entire body became racked with pain, and he lost all his hair on his head, and he was in complete agony. And the world's only billionaire who could buy anything he wanted could only digest milk and crackers. One of his associates wrote and said he could not sleep, he would not smile, and nothing in life meant anything to him. His personal, highly skilled physicians predicted he would die within a year. That year he passed agonizingly slow. That year passed agonizingly slow. As he approached death, he awoke one morning with the vague remembrance of a dream he had had the night before. He could barely recall the dream, but knew it had something to do with not being able to take his possessions to the next world with him. The man who could control the business world suddenly realized he was not even in control of his own life. And he was left with a choice. He called in all his attorneys, his accountants, his managers, and announced that he wanted to channel all his assets, all of his possessions, to hospitals, research, and mission work. On that day, John D. Rockefeller established the foundation that bears his name. This new foundation eventually led to the discovery of penicillin, cures for malaria, tuberculosis, and diphtheria. And the list of discoveries from that is enormous. But perhaps the most amazing part of Rockefeller's story is that the moment he began to give back a portion of all that he had earned, his doctors say that his body's chemistry began to be different. So significantly that he began to get well. It looked like that he would die at age 53, but John Rockefeller lived to the age of 98. Rockefeller learned gratitude and gave back from his wealth. Doing so made him whole. It is one thing to be healed. It's another thing to be made whole. John Rockefeller learned that generosity can set your heart free. Jesus teaches that generosity guides your heart. Generosity can enlighten your heart. And Jesus teaches that generosity, living life wide open, can set your heart free.